Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, reading from verse 1 through to verse 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. Luke has been speaking of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, rather the events preceding it, and now he comes to the good news of the birth itself. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. She brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds, living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all those who heard it marvelled at those things which were told them by the shepherd. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them. We trust God to bless the reading of his most holy word. Our second scripture reading is found in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 9, and we shall read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David, and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." The great message of Christmas is indeed the peace that God brings by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. There are so many who this morning, this day, will be celebrating with no good understanding of why they celebrate. But we who gather here this morning because we know why we are celebrating. We can indeed say, as the poet puts it, "Bright and joyful is the morn, for to us a child is born. From the highest heights of heaven unto us a son is given." And here centuries before the Lord was born in Bethlehem, we have the prophecy of Isaiah, God's great promise of a son who would be given, a child who would be born. Here was a nation full of doubt and fear and despair, and the word of God comes to them, that God is going to provide a saviour, a deliverer for his people. Unto us a child is born. Now here they were facing, as they thought, first of all, military enemies, and they are told, here is the good news, unto us a child is born. And they might well have said, well, what good is that? What we want is a mighty warrior to deliver us. And you promise us a child. Absolutely. For God's ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. What people thought they wanted was not what they needed. Felt needs can be very dangerous, because people can feel they need something they do not. Many a person has come to a doctor with what seems to be a relatively mild ailment and been rushed straight to hospital because what they felt were the symptoms of something far deeper and far more dangerous than what they knew. And the doctor takes a simple diagnosis and realizes there is something horribly wrong. And so it is that the people of Israel saw enemies around about them, but failed to see the enemy inside of them, the enemy of their own sin. Unto us a child is born. What a wonderful thing is that, unto us. Martin Luther said that the two greatest words in all the gospel are for me, for us. Because all the gospel is the good news of what God has done in Jesus. But unless we have those words unto us, then it may be to somebody else. It is a wonderful story, but unless it is unto us, and for us the child is born and the son is given, then it is merely another story, such as the sort we see upon the news or read in the papers. But what has it to do with us? For it is unto us a child is born. And such an ordinary thing it is. A child is born. Happens all the time. I had a great aunt who for many years was a midwife. She was a faithful believer. And every Christmas she would be at work. Because every Christmas children are born. As any other day. And yet, this child is more than any other child, is greater than any other child. An ordinary boy, if you had seen Jesus growing up, you would not have thought him any different from all the other little Jewish boys in Nazareth. And yet he was different. He was one of us. And yet he was more than one of us. He is one of us, and yet he is more than one of us. Unto us a son is given. And first of all, a son of the line of David. In verse 7, the throne of David and the kingdom is mentioned. This is a prince. One who is to be born of the line of David. To be born to that royal family that God himself had established when he sent the prophet Samuel to that shepherd boy of Bethlehem, with instructions to anoint that lad to be the king. And God had promised to that king, despite his sin, there would be one from his line who would sit upon the throne forever. Unto us a son is given, an heir. I wonder how many people this morning will make reference to the Duchess of Cambridge's pregnancy. Because it's very much the same hope that there is an heir to the throne who will be born. But of course we know not what any human monarch will be. There were many who rejoiced over the birth of men who turned out to be tyrants and villains. Men who rejoiced at the birth of kings whom they later cursed. But this is a king who will reign in righteousness. This is the one who is given by God, the Son of God and the Son of David. One of whom it is written that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The only begotten Son of God is given. He who was before all things, through whom all things were made, is born. A child. And yet, he always was. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the prophet then speaks his name, not the name he would be given by his parents, but a name that tells us who he really is. There are many kinds of names in the Old Testament. Among them are names that are given by people to describe a person. And this is what Jesus is. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His name will be called Wonderful. It is a name of God, for all that God does is wonderful. All that God is wonderful. He is wonderful, who does great wonders and marvels in the earth. He has made all things. We wonder at the vastness of creation. How much more wonderful is the one who has made it. And yet, this child is the wonderful God. He is the counsel, the one who plans. The one who has a plan that he is carrying out. God sent the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus came with a plan. The plan of man's salvation. As the hymn writer puts it, far before time, beyond creation's dawn, before the sun and moon and stars were born, salvation was for sinners lost, undone, counseled forth by God, the three in one. God planned that salvation work. He sent his Son into the world with a plan, with a work to carry out, a wonderful plan to save mankind. To you is born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. Not a saviour merely from outward troubles, outward difficulties, but a saviour from sin. You shall call his name Jesus, the angel said to Joseph, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not from the penalty of sin only, he will do that. Not only from the power of sin, what a wonderful thing, he will do that. But also from the very presence of sin, to cleanse the heart completely, to take away our sin. And we look forward to the fullness of that salvation, to be revealed on the day of resurrection, when body and soul, every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be raised perfect. The body itself that suffers with the ravages of sin shall be made like Christ's perfect body. A wonder it is. Indeed, a wonderful plan. The mighty God. God himself with us. Emmanuel. As another prophecy given to Isaiah says, the mighty God. And yet you look, the child in the manger, can this child be the mighty God? He is little, weak and helpless, as the hymn writer puts it. Yes indeed, and yet also the mighty God. For the weakness of God is stronger than man. The foolishness of God, that is the thing that God does that men think foolish, is wiser than man. The mighty God lies in a manger. Even in his weakness he is mighty, for he is given to what looks like the ultimate weakness, that is death. And yet he is mighty. Mighty when on Calvary dying, mighty death itself he breaks. See his might infinite, King of heaven and earth by right. Mighty when on Calvary dying, men look and they see a man suffering and dying, and there was yet a man there who looked and saw a king and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He died for us. He himself bore our sins. He died in the place of sinners, and he came to do that. He is indeed the Lord who came to die and rose again from the dead on the third day, for the grave could not hold him. But he bursts forth, the Lord of life, declaring that the penalty is fully paid and pardon bought. And he is the everlasting Father, not in the sense that he is God the Father, but that he is a Father from all eternity. How is this? Well, the prophet Isaiah speaks in his prophecy in chapter 53, that wonderful chapter of the salvation that Christ will work, that great prophecy of the cross. He says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, his offspring. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labour of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge my righteous servant shall justify many. That is to say, all those who are saved by Christ's death are regarded as, in a sense, his children. That you and I are, in that sense, his children. And so the hymn writer can say that our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so weak and helpless is our Lord in heaven above, and he leads his children on to the place where he is gone. And he shall say on that great and final day, behold me and the children you have given me. The everlasting Father, for he is from eternity the Redeemer, the one who gives to us eternal life if we believe in his name. And he is the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Peace, because he is the one who brings peace with God. Having been, says the Apostle, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By his death he brings us peace. He is the Prince who brings peace. He is the Prince who, now he is risen from the dead, rules to give peace. And so in the midst of this world of conflict, this world of suffering and of pain, we may know peace that the world can never give. Because we know this, that we have a standing, if we believe on the Lord, we have a standing of peace with God. that God loves us, that he is peaceful towards us, and that in the end he will give peace. And he's able to give peace even in the midst of trials, of peace in the heart that the world cannot take away. And we look forward to the fullness of that peace when it's spread abroad upon the earth and Christ comes to reign in righteousness. And there shall be a new heavens and a new earth in which that righteousness dwells. A new heavens and new earth that is full of peace, where there is no conflict, suffering, pain or death. But Christ is all and in all. So indeed, this Christmas morning, we hear that message, peace on earth and goodwill toward men, that the angels bring. And this wonderful good news that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. This day of all days, we rejoice in Jesus Christ, the gift of the Father's love. May that peace of God that surpasses all understanding reign in our hearts this Christmas day and forevermore, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.